That,
as Beyonce once said.
Yes, as Beyonce once said, you ready?
When did she say that?
That was literally her debut. All
right.
Yeah, it was Crazy in Love. It was like at the beginning of Crazy in Love.
Oh, okay, well.
Yes, this is Beyonce lore.
Beyonce lore.
Hi, welcome to Beyonce lore.
Hey guys, welcome back to Beyonce lore.
We're just kidding. It's 2 a.m.
I'm not kidding. We're going to talk about Beyonce now.
I'm Chad.
I'm Grace.
Today we're not talking about You're the Worst because we're the worst.
Because we're the worst. And this is our podcast and we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's true. It's like life. Except in this case, it's more realistic because we actually get to do whatever we want. We have full creative freedom.
Yeah. It's super fun. So, hey guys, we're not talking about You're the Worst.
Instead,
we are talking about...
Unreal, because...
Todd.
Because Grace is going to take a really long pause and adjust her microphone.
Yep, that's exactly what I was doing. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure that, like, they could hear you doing that. But anyway, so we're going to talk about Unreal.
Yeah.
Because...
Many things to go over.
Yes. Really what it is we both recently finished it. Like, I finished it a little bit before Grace did. Because, I don't know, I think I came home one night and I turned it on and I was just like, yeah, sure, let's do this.
Well, I know that I was shocked to see that it was, first of all, on Hulu, and then also the entire season was up, and then also it was the last season.
Yeah, it was a lot of information all at once.
Yeah.
Because I knew that season 4 was happening, and I already had, like, a glimpse into it. Okay, the interesting thing is like, when... Because I watched... Unreal as it aired season 3 on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Which, I think this is the first time I've... Well, I won't say first time, because I did watch season 2 with you at our old apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember doing that, because I feel like that was what really got me interested in watching this show, because at first my mom was watching it.
Don't you remember, like, when I first started watching it, you were like... What is this? And I was like, it's amazing. And then you got into it.
Yeah. Well, like, my mom was watching it, and I was like, okay. So, I never really watched it, just because it seemed like one of those things my mom was watching. So I was like, fine, I'll watch it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually sat down and watched it with you, and I was like, this is really interesting, also, what's going on. Because I was... Mm-hmm. I jumped in, like, at a weird point, so I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they put up season 4, I was just like, okay, so this is it. Also, this is not exactly what I expected, because the way that they put the preview up at the end of season 3 when they aired it on Lifetime, I was like, okay, well, I feel like I was promised something different. But you gave me this, and okay, I'll take it, but...
I mean, we can get into season 4 as a whole later, but...
Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
Yeah, so I guess we should just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Now this is a show tune podcast. Hi, welcome to musical theater.
Oh my god, bye.
And then you just hang up. Click!
Never to be heard from again.
And then I just have to do this whole thing by myself. So, do you want to break down what Unreal is about, like, the premise exactly?
I mean... Well, I was going to start off... Yeah, I guess I should explain the premise first. it is basically a scripted, obviously, scripted show about what goes on behind the scenes of a bachelorette-type show. Or bachelor, because they do both at some points. They do a male suitor and a female suitor. But it's like a, you know, it's about the producers and the, like, behind-the-scenes sort of stuff, but it's, but they kind of, like, mix in the, like, contestants and stuff as characters, too. And what I was going to say is I think makes it so captivating is that it was actually created by two women who were, I want to say they were producers on The Bachelorette, right?
Yes. I want to say that's the factual behind the scenes of this. So it's very meta.
Yeah, it's super meta. I don't know for a fact, but I feel like it is very accurate to what it's actually like.
Yeah, like right down to someone getting shot, am I right?
Yeah, someone getting murdered, essentially.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm thinking is I'm just like, if, because you saying how this is pretty much rooted in, you know, factual things that probably happened. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about, like, Rachel as a whole, and I'm like, do you think Rachel is a real person out there? Like, a real crazy bitch?
I think Rachel is probably an amalgamation of, like, several people that the creators knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's probably, like, a little bit them, a little bit some other people they knew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, one of those things where it's, like, she's based on, like, a couple different things. Because she does feel so real to me. And I feel the same way about Quinn, where she's, like, you know, she's kind of, like, they probably knew a few different producers, executive producers that were, like, Quinn. Or, mm-hmm. like, Chet, and they just kind of based them off of different people together.
Yeah. I mean, Chet always kind of felt one note to me, and it was true.
Yeah, the worst, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chet is the worst, but no one's worse than Jeremy.
Yeah, talk about one note. Actually, Chet, and, I mean, we can talk about this when we get to season four, too. Chet got less annoying in season four to me.
Yeah. But I think it was because they were kind of phasing him out. It's like, well, the thing is like, Chet isn't really the draw. He is in no capacity the draw in the show at all. He's like, he's kind of just like there to fuck up things at some point because he gets information from Quinn. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah, true.
And he's at a high status, so he can do that. So yeah, he really just makes things worse. But, sans that. So let's talk about season one, which was The Bachelor.
Yeah, so it was, like, the very classic, like, Bachelor. He's... Was he
British?
Royalty, right? He was, like, a duke or so, like, some, low-level royalty.
Yeah, he was some low-level. Adam, I think, was his name.
Yes, it was.
I don't really know what to say about him. He was in Harry Potter. Like, I always remember him from that dinner party scene where Hermione was there and she was very uncomfortable and he was, like, licking his pinky or whatever. He was trying to be, like, seductive or whatever, and I was just like, you are children! You are children, sir! What was weird about that is Hermione always, like, after she hit puberty, she looked like she was in constant fear for her life.
Oh my god.
She was just like, not only am I about to be, like, murdered potentially, I also have boobs, and people are staring at them, and I'm just like, but, you know,
I mean, life is tough.
Yeah, so that's another episode where we talk about Harry Potter, specifically the movies. You know what, now I'm thinking, I'm just like, could we do all of that in one episode, or would we have to, like, break them down?
I think we could jam it all into one.
True. The thing is I'm like, there's a lot of fluff in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was in Harry Potter. That was a very long walk around.
Anyway, remember when he was in Harry Potter?
Yeah. So Rachel bursts on the scene in the first season. Her introduction was, she was just in the limos with the girls, bringing them back, and everyone was just all like whispering, like, "Oh my god, oh my god, mm-hmm. she's coming back!" Oh, very Gossip Girl, actually.
Oh, very true, yeah. Well, I do feel like part of it being on Lifetime was that it was just, what it was, that it was very, like, soapy teen drama almost.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe more, like, more for adults, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely agree with that. I feel like with this particular series, they were aiming to get that demographic that loves, like, Desperate Housewives, like, mm-hmm. soapy drama.
Yeah,
true. But it was actually a lot punchier.
Oh, definitely. A lot, like, smarter,
yeah, I think. It reminds me of this show that came on FX, like, years ago with Courtney Cox called Dirt.
I don't think I know it.
I think she worked as, like, a tabloids person. It really was ahead of its time. I really think it was ahead of its time, because it seems like one of those shows, like, if it were on now, it would fare very well.
Okay. Tune in next time when we do Dirt. That's a good
one to do, because it's finite. But, yeah. Honestly, like, the way they're going about these reboots these days, I'm surprised that isn't one they're, like, potentially revisiting, because Cougar Town's over, so what's she doing?
Collecting her residual checks.
True. I mean,
her friends.
That is true. I always forget about that. But I mean, saying that.
Yeah. But yeah, Rachel, I think they introduce her with the girls in the limo. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think at first she comes off like very like, "Oh, like, I'm just one of you, like, I'm just blah, 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 I'm just bullshitting with the girls." And then there's, like, when they get to the mansion, there's, like, the whole switch of her being, like, "I'm a mastermind."
Yeah, like, a completely different person.
Mm-hmm, which, like, really just sets up who Rachel is, because she's got, like, 7 personalities.
I mean, she's a full-on sociopath to me.
Oh, definitely.
That actually reminds me, I don't know why I'm, like, referencing so many shows. It reminds me of the show with this guy, with that guy, Avon Jogia?
I think
Yeah, it came on, like, ABC Family. That's what it was. I was trying to remember what Freeform used to be. It came on there, and, like, he was in this show where they used to call him socio all the time, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, do you just, like, walk around and, like, say that to people? Because it doesn't seem like something common that one would do. And, I mean, even if it was an insult, it just seemed very odd.
Emily, so...
Yeah, anyway, that had nothing to do with anything, but... Yeah, so Rachel was... I don't know, I have, like, weird notes down here, because these are, like, my thoughts on Rachel as a whole after finishing the entire series, because these are the notes that I heard.
Do you think she's a sociopath?
Yes. I want to say...
We can talk about the series as a whole, because it's over, and, you know.
Yeah. So, one of the funniest things I feel like when I get to the absolute end is I realize I'm like, I think Rachel is the villain throughout the entire series. She's the villain of the series. She's, like, weirdly penitent, but also not enough and never actually pays for her, like, crimes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's the villain or if she's just constantly working against herself.
Like, she's the hero and the villain at the same time.
Yeah, she's definitely the protagonist. She's definitely, like, the hero, but she's also, like, she's just constantly working against herself in, like, everything.
Yeah, but there's the fact that someone is the protagonist doesn't directly conflict with them also being a villain. Like, you can be a villain and also the protagonist.
You can, but it's not done that often.
Yeah. Like, I would like to say that if they did do that with Rachel, which is what I think they did, they did it in a very sly, very, like, hush-hush way. Because you don't... The way that I see it, especially after finishing, I'm like, you don't really see her as one until you get to the very end. You're like, wait a minute, I think you were the villain all along.
No, I think they hint at it. They definitely hint at it. I mean, she goes through, like, one crisis per season of, like, oh, what am I doing? Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? Like, oh.
Yeah. And it makes me think, like, because I now see her as a villain, I think that her having these internal conflicts try and, like, humanize her as a villain, being like, well, you see their point of view and why they do this, but they're compulsive to do bad things. Like, they can't stop themselves. It's easy for them. Which is the whole thing with Rachel, they say all the time. She's like, it's so easy for me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why she didn't like working. Which is why she didn't like working where she was working, because she felt like it was, like, bad for her.
Right.
Which is funny, because, like, in between season 3 and 4, like, if she really felt that way, it's like, bitch, why'd you come back?
I have such mixed feelings about season 4, and that's one of them, is I'm like, I don't know, like, that whole plot where they were like, oh, you're the Sutress, and you came back because, like, you want a boyfriend, or, like, whatever. I was like, you know what? I would believe it more if she had just, like, in her little cabin in the woods been like, you know what? I'm fucking bored. I like working. I'm going back to work. Like, I would have found that so much more believable.
True. Do you know what I think is? Yeah. I think that we should see that the end of season 3 was the true finale, and season 4 is, like, fan fiction. Like, real good fan fiction.
Yeah, that's a way to look at it.
Because it kind of comes, like, a lot of it doesn't necessarily make sense. It's just, like, shooken up. It's like, why would Rachel come back as abruptly as she did? It was never explained. She's just like, I just want to do it.
Yeah, I didn't really get anyone's motivations in season 4 at all. I mean, and the whole Quinn storyline to me was like, whatever.
I can agree with that. So in season 1, I feel like with season 1, everything was like fresh and new. With, like, all the crazy stuff that was happening, that I was just, like, almost at every turn, I was just, like, gasping. I'm just like, oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness! Mm-hmm. Like, what's her name? Was it Mary? The chick who killed herself?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. And now I can't even remember. I'm like, did she kill herself, or did she get pushed or something?
No. She killed herself, but they, like... The whole thing was they, like, weren't sure if they had pushed her to it because of the medication that she was supposed to be taking or whatever.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but I'm agreeing to it.
You think they pushed her to it?
Yes. I do, because, like, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they did, because they manipulated the entire situation. They literally, like, in the very first episode, she was all like, I'm the old bitch who's supposed to be here for, like, no reason, right? Mm-hmm. To which no one fully answered her, but I'm pretty sure that's what they said. Like, she's supposed to be there as one of the ones they keep almost to the end, but he only picks the hot ones.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And the way that they were, like, manipulating it was, like, it was so ridiculous, because Homegirl was, like, they're all, like, because in the first season they had that one woman, I forget what her name was.
Which one?
She plays Josh Chan's mom in Crazy Ex.
Oh, the therapist.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember what her name was. They had her, and she was literally there to give them mental breakdowns of all the people, which is supposed to help the people be like, oh, you know, like, they're sensitive to these things. So instead, they push on them, like, pressure points.
Yeah, well, she, wasn't she, like, didn't she, like, push back against it? Like, wasn't she supposed to be there for, like, the good of the contestants and, like, actually as a therapist?
Yeah, like, she was trying to do that at one point, but it was really just for her own gain. She wanted, like, screen time.
Oh, okay, that's right, I do remember that now.
She's like, where's my corner where I give advice by a babbling brook or some BS like that?
Yeah, it's such an interesting, like, I feel like all the characters at some point, like, nobody is, like, I feel like they just, I guess that's what working in LA does to you. You're just like, at some point, you just become greedy and evil.
Yeah, you just shut down completely. You're just like, do I have soul? No. I can't wait to be there one day.
I know. What a good time.
I know. I want to be monies. I want to be monies.
But yeah, I think that's one of the things that's, like, based off of, like, a real, like, what it's really like on those shows is they actually do have a therapist there. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those, like, little, like, insider things that the creators brought over with them.
Yeah, like, because that whole control room thing is nothing we would have known. Like, we know that, like, anyone who's ever seen, like, a live taping or whatever has seen a control room at some point, because every once in a while they'll, like, show a camera in there. They'll be like, oh, this is what the control room looks like, and it's just, like, a bunch of screens, and we switch back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. And that's basically all they do, is they just stand in front of that and look for things that are happening, and they're like, oh, it looks like something's happening over there, let's go over there.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I'm like, as someone who watches reality TV too, it makes me think about the people who, like, film it. Because, interestingly enough, when I was in high school, there was this girl who was on Maid.
Oh.
At my school, yes. It was really funny. it was really funny because she was, like, this white girl who would get, like, tanned. But I don't remember if she, like, would actually go to the salon or get spray tanned, because she looks like very, she looks like a certain president.
Which one could you be talking about?
I don't know. But it was really funny because she had broken up with her boyfriend the week before, and we all knew that because for some reason it traveled around the school. I don't know why. But, because okay. I don't even remember what the girl's name was. That's the funniest part about it. But they had gotten back together just so that they could do stuff on TV. Like, they could tape. And he was part of her storyline. It's just like, now that I'm breaking up with my boyfriend, what am I going to do? And I'm just like, did you guys just reenact your breakup for television?
Yes.
because the producers thought it would be a funnier story arc. Funnier. Yeah. They thought it would be a better one, but they were laughing about it.
I mean, that's basically... this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Unreal is so accurate to how it really is. Like, on those shows. I mean, obviously, like, I don't think that every single producer on there also has personal drama that they're constantly bringing to work, but, like, I think that as far as, like, the backhand manipulation and stuff like that, I think it's just super accurate.
Yeah. And we must stay ever vigilant against people who would have us seek actions that we normally wouldn't, given otherwise.
Yep.
That's really all this show's trying to teach you. It's just, like, stay away from manipulative people.
I think it's trying to teach you that working in L.A. breaks your soul.
Well, that, too. And then might also lead you to commit murders.
Yeah. You know, if you're really good at it.
If you're really good at it, you know. Just get in the murdering game. Because we all have our skills.
We all have our, you know, qualifiers on our resume.
I think one of the funniest things about... Well, I don't even know if this is funny, but... Like, I was thinking about Adam, the bachelor from the first season, and I was thinking about how, like, he and Rachel were supposed... I feel like they were trying to make him seem just as bad as Rachel... And that they could possibly be meant for each other because it's like he was willing to do whatever it took to get what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And Rachel was just willing to do literally whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the end, they didn't end up together because that was gross. Uh-oh. Well, we all know it's because Rachel is actually a lesbian, but they won't let her be a lesbian.
She is the most closeted lesbian on, like, any show that I've ever seen. And I am including Freaks and Geeks in that.
Including Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, Lindsay from Freaks and Geeks. Oh, you haven't seen it, right?
No. Oh, maybe yeah, I should watch that. I keep putting it off.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I guess I should watch that. I think it's back on Netflix again.
Yeah, it's good, and she's also lesbian. But anyway, Rachel. Rachel Goldberg is the biggest lesbian.
Ever. Yes, I can agree with that. They just had her, like, be promiscuous, and, like, she was, like, weirdly into, like, having sex with black guys for a minute.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that in season two?
I guess it was season two, when they were trying to be, like... racially sensitive and have black people on the show.
She was, like, on like, a social justice, like, mission.
I mean, she was in season three, too.
Yeah.
Season two, it was social justice. Season three, it was feminism.
Yep.
Season four was, fuck feminism, I want a husband.
Which is, like, a really interesting... part of her character is, like, the whole, like, deep down, she wants to be good, and she wants to be doing this for the good of, you know, whatever. Like, she's trying to get a message out, and that's why she's, like, working in television, and, like, this sort of whole thing that I feel like in season four, they just kind of, like, drop kicked in the nuts.
See? That's why I said it's fan fiction.
Yeah. I feel like fan fiction does a better job of characterization than they did in season four.
Well, I think that's... Isn't that what they call, like, crack fic or something? When they do stuff they wouldn't normally do?
Yeah, crack fic. Didn't we go over this in our fan fiction episode, Chan?
I think we did, but... I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite forgetful.
Okay. We'll make a chart.
Okay, so I guess in season one, most of the takeaways were just that Mary died. They had this huge scandal because of that. They had to stop production for a couple of days.
Yeah.
While they all try to figure out, what are we going to do about this murder?
Which, like, in their world is, like, the end of the world, basically.
Yeah. They were like, oh god, we can't tape for 2 days. And, like, the network's just yelling at them.
Basically. Yeah, that was the big twist or, like, shock moment, I think, in season one. And then there was also Faith turning out to be gay.
Yeah. That was season one? Oh, yeah, that was season one.
Yeah, that was season one.
They were like, oh, I'm this little southern girl, and I'm actually a lesbian. Oh, my God. What was really funny was her best friend. Because she was, like, she was the most butch yet lipstick lesbian at the same time. It was very confusing. Like, it's very hard to describe, is what I mean.
That's how they be out in the country.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm butch, but also pretty. It's like, really buff little Debbie.
That there is called a TV dyke, everyone.
I love it. They actually, she looks like a, one of those, like, professional wrestlers. Like a lady professional wrestler.
Oh, like where they're really buff, but also, like, super glam.
Yeah. Buff and glam. There we go.
Buff and glam. Mm. Yes.
That sounds like a good, like, workout tape.
Buff and glam.
Yeah. Like a good...
It actually sounds like a buddy cop show.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, what would it be if it were a buddy cop show?
I don't know. One of them's buff and one of them's glam. It's not deep.
So one of them's like a buff cop. The other one's a flaming homosexual.
Yes.
Buff and glam.
Yes.
They're too different. They're just different enough to make it work.
Plot twist, they're both gay.
Ooh, I love it. A show for the modern era. Network TV, we're coming for you.
Tweet at us.
tweeted us.
All of network television, please tweet at us.
Yeah, so season two was when they had Darius, and they decided to be all social justice-y with the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know what was going on in that season sans the one dude getting shot.
The one dude what?
The one dude getting shot.
Right, yeah. There was that. I don't know. I didn't love season two. I thought, like, they were trying too hard to go for that angle, and they just kind of, like, overshot and kind of missed it.
Yeah, like, I agree with that.
Yeah, I was like, you're trying too hard. Just do some soapy drama stuff and whatever. Like, you know, we're all here. We're all watching it. But I did like Ruby, who was the one contestant that I think ended up with Darius at the end, right? Or she was, like, the one that he was supposed to end with. Oh,
yeah. The black girl.
Oh, yeah. And she was, like, she got kicked off, but she was the one he was supposed to be with, and she came back, and I liked her a lot.
Yeah, I feel like they really shaped her into being, like, the America's sweetheart, because they made her, like, the way that they made her storyline in this season, they made her, like, very sweet and likable, and her going home, it was very, well, on the show, because the way that I was thinking about it, like, within the show, the way that they were trying to make it seem for America, but with, like, right, what we saw in the show, they really made her, like, she should be the one that goes on to the end. Her getting cut didn't make any sense.
Right.
Other than to just be, like, doing it for kicks.
Right.
It really did feel like a textbook beat for what should be happening in a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, things are going too well with her. Need to get rid of her.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I feel like most shows would, like, tease it out and get rid of her, like, the next episode. In some kind of dramatic fashion.
Yeah, I think Unreal does work very fast-paced. Like things happen, like, 7 things could happen in 1 episode kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. I can agree with that. Yeah, so, season 2, dude getting shot, and then Rachel being like, oh, I feel so bad. I'm like, do you know what's really funny is, you would think Rachel would feel worse about pushing some girl to get, you know, killed, but, you know, she weirdly felt worse about getting the black guy shot.
Because of white guilt.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why she felt bad, and she should have felt bad, but I mean, like... she seemed way more remorseful about that.
Yeah. Yeah, season 2 to me was kind of like, whatever. Okay, cool. And then we moved on. Like,
yeah, I can agree with that. Because I thought wild things were going to happen. If I were going to compare the seasons, I think the wildest were the first and the fourth.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, to be honest, I really liked the third, even though it didn't have a ton of wild, wild twists. I actually really liked the third season.
What I loved about the third season was the fact that they had guys, and they decided to have them shirtless and stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, great. Because what didn't make sense and, like, unreal, like, the first, like, 2 seasons, it was, like, they had, like, the suitors and whatnot, but it was just, like, a bunch of naked women and stuff, and I'm just like, why is this on Lifetime? Is this supposed to... Who's the demographic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, who's watching your show?
Fringe lesbians.
No, I don't think any... Well, no, I think Quinn and... I think Quinn and Rachel have a big draw.
Yeah. That's why I find it funny that a lot of the critical acclaim I got for, like... Or, like, I would hear about to watch Unreal, I felt actually came from a lot of men, and I'm like, why were they watching it? I'm like, why are y'all watching Lifetime? I mean, it's a good show, but I was like, how did you happen upon it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they're critics and they have to watch stuff.
True. That is a fair point. So in season 3, when they had blonde chick, whose name I forget.
Yep.
She... Did you like her? I didn't care for her that much.
I didn't like her, but I kind of liked what they did with her. Like, I liked her, like, story, her journey, like, where she was, like, I felt like she paralleled Rachel a lot, where she was like, oh, I'm coming on to, like, do something and say something, and then slowly got, like, sucked into the whole...
into the madness.
Yeah.
Into the true madness that is the show. Yeah, that is very... I can agree with that. I thought you were going to say, like, you agreed with, like, what she represented.
What? Like...
Her character. What her character represented, which was, like, this smart, successful woman who was also trying to find love, but couldn't figure out where to find it and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was a good... Yeah, like that's what I mean. I like her character. I didn't really have any feelings either way about her. But, mm-hmm. like, I liked how they set her up and stuff.
Understandable. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I think in that season there were... I like that they had more male characters in the sense that they objectified them, but also... It kind of gave Rachel a bit of a playground.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rachel was just going nuts.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she's very good at manipulating people in general, but she's very good at manipulating men specifically.
Yeah.
Which, in season four, which was really funny, I thought she was, like... In season four, I was just like, did Rachel get, like, better at manipulating men or something? Because, like, usually I could tell when Rachel was trying to, like, when Rachel was manipulating someone because, I don't know, there's just, like, a certain way that she goes about doing things. But in season four, it seemed very genuine that it was, like, it really was what she wanted to do, but really she was just doing it to get something.
I think it was just part of the weird writing of season four, where there was just, like, weird motivations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just, like, all over the place with, like, oh, Rachel wants this. Oh, now Rachel wants this. Oh, now she's feeling bad about what she wants, and now she's da-da-da, which, like, as a character, that is how she is, but, like, I just... It was, like, too many ups and downs in season four.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I did, like, the blonde girl. I forget her name, but yeah.
I really wanted her to end up with firemen.
You what?
I really wanted her to end up with the firemen.
Oh, I did too, for sure. I did not like that English guy.
Me either. He was so gross.
But I was like, I could see why they would be together, which I think was the point of his character, too, so.
Yeah. It's like, the kind of guys that you usually date versus the kind of guy that you really need to be with. A single father who lives in Wyoming, who's also a fireman and an army vet. But I'm like, he's, like, really hot, so... Go for it. Plus, she was, like, also rich, so I'm like, what the fuck do you have to lose, girl? You've got literally nothing to lose, everything right. to gain. Like, if you wanted to... It's not like he would run in the same circles as her. If they broke up, she'd be like, well, I'm moving to, like, New York or whatever the fuck, and they'd be like, you'll just never see him again. That's just it.
Yep. That's true.
So, homegirl was really just, as my grandfather would say, pussyfooting around.
Yeah. Well, I think that she also, like, the part of, like, the story that season was, like, oh, you really can't find true love on these shows because it's just garbage and it's fake and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, I really liked that, that end shot, that last shot of her where she's, like, in the limo and she turns her phone back on and she's just, like, matching people on Tinder. She's like, oh, fuck. It's, like, really funny. Because it's, like, in this day and age, like, how do you meet people? You know, like, how, you know, like, you might as well meet somebody on a goddamn show where it's all fake, you know?
True, because it's all fake anyway. I mean, love that's what Tinder.
Real, guys.
Yeah, that's what Tinder
the point
is.
Of our podcast.
Yeah, love isn't real. Tinder's a joke. It's really just a fun faced game.
Well, that's true.
It's hot or not, but with messaging.
But enough about our personal lives.
Let's talk about season four.
No, I liked season three a lot. And yeah. I really enjoyed seeing a woman try to choose a man more than I enjoyed trying to, like, more than I enjoyed watching a man try to choose a woman. Like,
yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I can agree with that 1,000%. That was a lot more interesting.
Yeah, which I feel, like, I think is how I also feel about the real shows, which, like, I haven't seen any of them a lot. But, like, when I watch The Bachelor, I'm like, this is the worst thing. And when I watch The Bachelorette, I'm like, oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of dummies. This girl trying to pick between a bunch of dummies. I'm like, that's really what it is. And it's so fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
But the other way around, it's gross.
Yep.
The only good thing to come out of that is that video of that girl, Crystal.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
I love it. Hi.
Hi, guys.
What I think I sound like in my head. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so funny.
I literally cannot stop saying, excuse me, lady. Oh, my God. And the other part where she's like, Congratulations. Oh my god. Yeah, she's amazing.
Classic.
But other than that, garbage.
Yeah. Oh, I also, one of the things I loved in season three was fucking, what's his name? Tall black guy.
Jay?
Yes. Wait, I feel like I have his name written down here too. Yeah. I do have his name written down here and I fucking still forgot it. I'm stupid. Anyway.
Jay?
Yes. I'm just okay. saying I'm stupid because I literally have it written down and I also forgot it. But anyway, so I loved in season three that Jay literally was off the walls. He was just, he went from having a stable relationship with his boyfriend who literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he did.
He came completely out of nowhere. And then next thing you know, it was just like, they broke up, and he was trying to date one of the contestants, and the contestant was just like, nope, I'm not gay, I was just giving you blowjobs so you would give me cocaine.
And that I'm was like, so wild, and he was definitely gay, so.
I know, it was so stupid, too. I'm just like, dude, just be gay. I get that you're Russian, and, like, that's a whole thing, you know.
Yeah, like, is that what they were trying to do, though? Like, were they just being like, oh, like, the whole thing in Russia? I was like, okay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, being Russian sucks, but whatever. Anyway, just try and avoid that at all costs.
If you're Russian, tweet at us.
And tell us how terrible it is.
We want to know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I just found it very funny that it was just, like, why won't you just admit that you're, like, gay or bisexual or whatever? Because it's, like, clearly you and Jay had something going on. I mean, Jay obviously read too much into it like a normal homosexual would. It's, like, I mean, he was getting more than, like, wink, hi, I...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was getting, like, full fellatio, but...
Yeah.
So anyway,
Jay, I always try to, I don't know, Jay was one of those characters that, like, I always tried to like, but, like, he just never quite got there for me. Like, I just never quite.
It's because he's kind of two dimensional. He's not, yeah. He's not dynamic enough, which yeah, I think
he, like, he's definitely not one note.
Yeah.
But, like,
he's two notes. But that
yeah,
it.
He's yeah. Like, whenever they gave him storylines, I was just like, okay.
I mean, the one with his boyfriend was, like, really boring. But the one with Alexi was at least interesting enough. But I'm like, if you're not going to develop it into an actual romantic storyline, I don't get where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Because they didn't in the end. So I'm just like, then what the hell were you doing with it?
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing this? I guess just to get him on hooked on cocaine, I guess that's all it was.
Yeah, which, like, came back for, like, what, 1 second in season four?
He was just doing a lot of cocaine, and I'm like, okay. Like, I get it. Like, sometimes people who do cocaine get really hooked on doing it, but at the same time, I'm like, it didn't seem to mesh with his character, especially the way they introduced him in the beginning.
No, yeah, it did not mesh with his character at all. Yeah, I think maybe they just wrote the wrong storylines for him. Maybe they just should have, like... I mean, the thing is, like, I would have loved if he had had, like, a real gay affair with one of the guys. But, like, the way they did it was, like, so stupid.
Yeah. I think the Alexi storyline would have been interesting if they had done... See, I always said that they should have done the Bachelorette thing in season two and then did it for two seasons because that would have been more interesting.
With, like, having more guys, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he could have had... Him and Alexi could have had that thing in season two and it could have flushed out to season four and then... had a full story arc of something. But yeah. Instead, it just decided to be some random BS in season four. So
passport to dance.
Yeah, passport to dance. So actually, a lot of my notes take place in season four. So I feel like we should talk about that.
Yeah. No, we can. I mean, it makes sense. It's the last one that we've seen. So I also watched season three, like, right before I watched season four. So it might also be pretty fresh in my mind, too.
Yeah, because I watched it terse out week to week. So you get to binge it.
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't super binge it, but...
Oh. Well, I mean, it was at least close enough together where you remembered everything that was happening.
Yeah.
I have on here that Rachel is a chaotic evil.
She definitely is. She bounces back and forth between chaotic neutral and chaotic evil, I think. Like, the moments where she's like, I'm doing this for, you know, the good of stuff and blah, blah, blah. She's actually a neutral. And then in the moments where she's like, I'm doing this for myself or I'm doing this for the show, she's actually evil.
I feel like even when she's doing things for the good, she's doing it to an extreme where she's like the end, what's that phrase where it's like the end
justifies the means.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like that's usually what she's doing even when she's doing a good thing. Because I feel like with season two, she felt like she was doing a lot of the good thing. Like when the dude got shot, like she felt like she was doing the good thing up until the point where he got shot.
Right.
And it was like, even if he gets like arrested, it'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, but that's someone's life, dude. Like in season four, which she did with Homegirl, which she was like full on about to let her get like raped. Just so that she could get, like, that storyline.
Like, this is what I'm talking about with season four. I'm like, I don't think that... I mean, I get that they wanted to, like, push it over the edge. Like, oh, something she's never done before. She's gone completely off the rails. Like, I don't... I actually don't think that the Rachel of seasons 1 through 3 would have pushed so hard for that.
No, especially like, since she took so long to, like, acknowledge the fact that she was actually a victim.
Yeah.
And, like, say that to herself and come to some sort of resolution and for her to be like, oh, I'm going to put some girl through this.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, she had, like, just come to terms with all of that in her own past. And then, like, she's just going to turn right around and do it to somebody else. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. That didn't make any sense. I was like, Rachel is out of control, ! Rachel is a criminal.
She was out of control for the entirety of season four.
Yeah.
Which was like, you know, I think they called it out a lot, but it also just, like, at certain points, like, wasn't enjoyable to watch, you know?
Yeah. I just thought bitch was going crazy. Like, she was like, I am crazy, and I'm full on going to embrace all of my crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think the best part for me for season four was that they finally got rid of Jeremy. Like,
oh yes, thank God.
He was the worst part of the show for me. Like, season two was the... I think season two was the height of when I hated him because he would not go away. And then season three was, like, even worse because he was just there. And it was, like, a repeat of what was going on in the season before. Which is just...
He literally told Rachel that it was her fault that he, like, killed people. And I was like, no, you need to search deep inside yourself, dude. Like...
Yeah. And then he's like, but you knew what I would do. You knew exactly the right words to say to suggest it without actually saying it so that I would do it. And then she's like, you're right, I did. And I'm like, okay, something is wrong with both of you.
Literally. I was like, no, bye to this. No, goodbye.
Yeah. Also, like, because I know in season four she was trying to do that whole Sutras thing, but the funniest thing is, like, in every single season, dudes were falling in love with her.
Yeah, but it would be like, and I was thinking about this too in, like, season three when, like, that therapist fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, like, I just felt so bad for her in that moment because I was like, yeah, people fall in love with her, but it's always this, like, weird, like, obsessive, not real sort of love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like every time she's, like, had a big romance with someone, it's been this, like, really weird, like, not real, very, like, what's it called? Oh, in, like, infatuation rather than, like, a real connection.
Yeah. I was gonna say pseudo-love.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in season one, it was, like, her and Adam, and then her in season two was her and Darius's friend, and then also the executive dude, who was, like...
His name was, like, Tommy, or... No, wait, Tommy was in the fourth season.
Yeah.
I don't remember, I don't care.
Yeah. No, he was fucking obsessed, like, obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Tommy was in season four.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
actually, the therapist in season three, he was also obsessed with her, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, it would always be this weird, like, they were like, Rachel, I've never met anyone like you. And she was just like, thanks.
I've never met anyone like you, crazy and also manipulative. You're so fascinating. Like, I feel like the way that they came at it was, like, the way that people usually come or, like, are fascinated by the macabre. It's, like, strange and fascinating. It's just like, you are odd.
Yep.
And, like, 20 minutes into their relationship, they would grow tired of it.
Yeah, I just... It was so funny in season four when Tommy, like, proposed to her. And he was literally like, Rachel, I love you. And she just, like, sat there and stared at him.
That's literally what she does every single season. She literally, like, someone's just like, I love you. And she's just like, thank you.
Okay.
No, it's like that still... of Audrey Hepburn, but I don't know what movie it's from, where they're
it's
just
from
like
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah. Is it? They're like, I love you. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's exactly where they got it from. They're like, I want a Breakfast at Tiffany's moment where she just stares at them.
So funny. Again, she is a lesbian.
True. I don't know what... I have this note written down here, stabbing. I'm like, what was that?
Did somebody get stabbed? I don't remember that.
I don't know. I literally have stabbing exclamation point, and then it's underlined twice. So I'm like, what was there stabbing?
I don't remember anyone getting stabbed.
Me either. That's why I'm like...
really funny.
I know. Maybe I don't mean stabbing. I know. All I know... I think I was referring to the moment with Alexi where his leg gets all, like, fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
That was wild. I was literally like, that was the moment in season four where I was just like, they are going off the rails with this one. They're just like, whoops, broke your leg. No, oh no, not that one. Oh, that other moment in season four where the dude had his penis chopped off. That was the stabbing. That was the stabbing.
Oh, I didn't... Yeah. Right.
Because she also stabbed him. But that was... That was, like, the wildest shit.
That was so funny.
I know. The way that they were watching her on the camera and the girl, like, coming into the room, like, walking around in the... It was so funny to watch on the cameras. I was like, dude, it's really terrible that I would also be laughing if I worked there. I was like, look at her. It's really funny. The way that she's, like, walking around the corner is, like, shuffling.
Oh, my God. Same. I would never leave that control room. It's hysterical. There was, like, there was that one shot in season four of, like, Quinn was just watching Noelle cry on camera. I was like, Quinn, what are you doing? Quinn's, like, sitting there eating chicken wings. She's just, like, watching Noelle cry. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so hungry right now. I could totally eat some chicken wings.
Why did you not eat before we did this? It's, like, almost midnight.
I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah. Season four was, even if I do feel like it was crazy fan fiction, it was still, like, pretty fun. It was a wild ride. But I...
Yeah, definitely.
I did hate the ending.
So, I felt like, when we got to the end, I was like, okay, I feel like they really... I don't know. It just was so sudden, and, like, I think that they should have, I mean, I think that there should have been one more season, I think.
Yeah.
And then they could have, like, burned down the Everlasting. Because I think what should have happened in, like, season five is that, like, because how I felt about Quinn and Rachel's storylines was, like, pretty similar. Like, I felt like both of them, it was just this, like, wild storyline that, like, really didn't really did not benefit their characters at all, and then just at the end it was just like, oh, we just wrapped it up, like, Quinn fucking got an abortion or whatever the fuck happened, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Rachel, like, dyed her hair back to brown. Like, it just wrapped it up, and I was like, no, there should have been one more season where they both really come to terms with, like, who they are as people, and then they leave Everlasting. Like, I just felt like both of their characters were done a huge disservice. Like,
yeah, I can agree with that, because I wholeheartedly believe that neither of them, because at the end I was just very pissed off that there was no real resolution to which Rachel paid for her sins, and that's really what I wanted. I'm like, she needed to pay, if she wanted a full act of contrition, she needed to pay for her sins.
Yeah.
And, like, go to jail. Something like that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we talked about this before, but, like...
And then she can have a crossover, like, with Orange is the New Black.
That would be the funniest crossover. I don't feel like the show ever set her up to pay for her actions, though. Like, it just never did. Like, they just kind of got away with everything they did, and, like, that's just always how it was since season one, you know?
White privilege.
Yep.
Ugh. Stressful.
I do
have a note on here that I wish that they had an episode, like, where we got to see an actual episode of Everlasting.
Oh, where it was just fully an episode of Everlasting?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
That would have been so cool. I would have freaking loved that.
Season five.
That's the whole season.
It's just a season of Everlasting.
I would watch that, actually. I think I would just watch that.
Yeah, I think I would too. Seems like a good time.
Like a full on scripted reality show. Like, yeah. We know it's scripted. It's just. It's formatted like a reality. That's really what it is. It has to be formatted like a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, what's that animated show that comes on Cartoon Network? Total Drama Island.
Oh my God, I love that show.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, agree.
It could work. I'm what doing it now. I'm writing that. It now. I'm writing it right now as we speak.
Here I go.
Yeah, I just start hitting buttons on my keyboard. Yeah, I don't know what that would do to my, like, that would do to the recording. But anyway, so that wraps this up for Unreal. Unless you had anything else you wanted to say.
Can you hear that?
That's what Grace wanted to say. Oh, I heard that, though.
I sent you a message.
Oh, God. Anyway.
That's so funny. Wait, this is so weird. I think... Oh, okay. Never mind. You know who we didn't talk about?
Who?
Madison.
Oh, true. Did you want to talk about Madison?
I have nothing to say about Madison other than we didn't talk about Madison.
And that's everything you need to know about Madison.
We also didn't talk about Tracy Tan's character, but that's fine also.
She's
a good side character.
Yeah, they're both side characters. I mean, Madison was really just there to be an opportunist.
I felt like they could have done more with Madison, too. I really liked... Was it in season 3 where she kind of, like Quinn kind of used her to her advantage? Like, she used her to take down the studio head by, like, bringing all his other mistresses in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
I feel like Madison only had, like, 2 or 3 really good scenes throughout the entire series, and that was it.
Definitely. My favorite, though, was in season 4, which she was like, I'm breaking up with you, Tommy. And he was like, Rachel and I are gay. I laughed so hard at that.
The fact that he thought he could actually get engaged to Rachel is the funniest part of that.
She's a lesbian.
No, she's insane.
She's an insane lesbian.
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm really glad that they had Francois Arnand on there.
Yeah, he was a good time.
I just like looking at him. He's very pretty. He's a very pretty Frenchman.
Loves it. I think that's just about all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, you should watch Unreal if you haven't already. I mean, if you're listening to this, you must have, because if you didn't, we just told you the whole series, pretty much.
No, there's a lot that happens that we did not go over, so...
That's very true. We were just talking in general about highlights.
Because we would be here all night.
That is true.
I do want to wrap it up just by saying that Quinn King is one of my top favorite characters of all time, I think. Like, as far as, like, great, dynamic female characters go, I love Quinn.
I mean, I can agree with that.
For her the whole time.
I can agree with that. She's a very good character.
I don't know what I'm gonna do without her in my life.
Dude, I've been thinking that a lot about just a bunch of shows that I've been watching that are either ending or have ended, and I'm just like, oh god, now I have to find new stuff to watch.
Yeah. True, same, except I just end up watching house shows on Netflix, so.
Yeah.
Oh, here we are.
I guess I'll just watch season 2 of AP Bio.
I would rather die. Tune in next time when we watch AP Bio.
Again. Next episode we're doing anime.
Anime.
Which is gonna be great.
Yeah.
Because anime is awesome.
Sure.
And we'll get more into whatever that's supposed to mean next time.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Hi, guys.